Find Me. Chapter 1. William is a 36-year-old man. His friends call him Bill. He is a single father. He lives with his 8-year-old son, Timothy. They have a happy life together. Bill has a routine life. He works in a library. He leaves the library at 6 and arrives home at 6:15. His son, Tim, comes home at 5. Mila, his babysitter, looks after him until Bill comes home. Bill is a great father. He can turn everything into a game. Vacuuming the carpets, for example, is a car race. Or cooking is a camping trip. Doing homework is a quiz show. Tim is a good son. He loves and respects his father. He helps Bill with everything. They are always together. They have a great father-son relationship. They talk a lot. They read books and watch movies together. Tim likes animated films most. Bill likes science fiction movies. They also do a lot of outdoor activities. They usually go hiking and climbing. If the weather is okay, they go fishing with their small canoe. Tim loves fishing. He likes being in the open sea. His father also likes being in the open sea because he prefers quiet places. On weekdays, they prefer staying at home. But at weekends, they are usually out. They never stay at home when there is beautiful weather outside. If they don't have time to go hiking or climbing, they usually go to a park or have a picnic. Sometimes they feel energetic and play baseball together. Most fathers work a lot and cannot spend time with their sons or daughters. They always think about their careers. If they have any spare time, they prefer spending it with their friends, but Tim and Bill do not have that kind of relationship. They are not just father and son. They are the best friends ever. As they do not have an ordinary father-son relationship, they have a very unusual routine. It is called a welcome home ceremony. Every evening, Tim writes a note for his father. Then he hides somewhere in the house. When Bill comes home, he sees the note and starts looking for his son. The hiding place always changes, but the note never does. Find me. Bill puts the note into his pocket and the search starts. When he finds his son, he sings a little song. I found you, my little boy. You are my biggest joy. Then they hug happily and set the dinner table together. There are more than 400 pieces of paper like that. Bill keeps them in a box in his room and hasn't lost a single one. Each one of them is very important to him. Chapter 2. It is almost 6 o'clock. Bill is about to leave the library. The phone rings. It's Mila, the babysitter. She has to leave early today because her mother is sick. My mother phoned me. I have to take her to the hospital immediately. Can I leave 15 minutes earlier? She asks. No problem, Mila. Tim can stay alone until I come. If you need help, please call me, Bill says. He hangs up the phone and starts walking home. In a few minutes, he will see his street and house. He will see his neighbors. It is dinner time for the Peterson family. Miss Watson waters her flowers in the garden at this time every evening. Mr. Foster drinks tea on the porch. Miss Bell walks her dog. And he is right. The Peterson family is having dinner. Miss Watson is watering the flowers and Mr. Foster is drinking tea. Then Bill hears a dog barking. It is Miss Bell's dog. He greets his neighbors. Bill loves this street. No bad surprises here. He steps on the road to cross the street. A black minivan stops and lets him pass. Bill thanks the driver and he thinks, I really love this street. He sees his house. He prepares himself for their little game. He thinks the possible places for hiding. Tim might hide in the kitchen. He hasn't hid in the kitchen for a long time, but maybe he will hide in the bathroom again. He loves hiding in the bathroom because bathroom is the darkest room. He was in the attic yesterday. I guess he won't be there today. Maybe he is in the basement this time. I should check the basement first, he thinks. He opens the door with a smile on his face. He is sure that he will see Tim's next handwriting, "Find me." Well, he really sees a note. This time it is a bit different. "Find him." What is this? Is this a bad joke or a bad surprise? Bill doesn't know what to think at first. Then he thinks Tim is playing with him. Maybe he is bored of writing the same note every day. He wants to have a different day. "Oh, this little kid," he says. "He is trying to scare me." He relieves and starts looking for Tim. He goes to the basement first. "Is it a new game, Tim?" he shouts. He is still smiling. "Or did you confuse the object pronouns?" he says happily. Tim is not in the basement. Bill goes to Tim's bedroom, looks into his closet, under his bed, behind the curtains. Tim is not there either. "Tim, let's not play anymore. Please, show yourself. Where are you?" he says. His smile is gradually fading. He is getting more nervous every second. He does not want to be pessimistic about the situation, but he can't help it. He climbs up to the attic, checks the living room, his own bedroom, the kitchen, and the bathrooms. He cannot find his son. Unfortunately, it is not a bad joke, and it is worse than a bad surprise. His son is kidnapped. It is a disaster. He runs to the street and shouts. His neighbors are with him now. "Did you see him?" he asks. But no one saw his son. "Did you see a stranger?" he asks. The answer is no. "He was at home with Miller 15 minutes ago. Now he is lost. How is this possible?" he says. He is trembling. He cannot breathe properly. He can't think reasonably. He thinks he is losing his mind. Then suddenly he remembers the police. He should call the police first. He should also call his family. He should also call Miller. And worst of all, he should call his ex-wife, Tim's mother. But he does not call any of them. Instead, he starts running on the street. He doesn't know where, but he is running. He can hear his own heartbeats. His heart is about to tear his chest apart. This is definitely the worst day of his entire life. He is desperately shouting his son's name. No one shouts back. He runs left, then he runs right. He runs north, then he runs south. It is useless. There's nothing unusual around. He is out of breath. He falls and starts crying. Mr. Foster carries him home. All his neighbors are with him in his house. They are all sorry for him, but they can't do anything about him. Tim is gone and nobody knows where. The police cars come immediately. Mr. Peterson was calm enough to talk to them. Mila is here too. She feels guilty and she is crying. "It's all because of me," she is muttering. Detective Taylor introduces himself. "Please, leave us alone with Bill. Go to your homes and wait. The house must be empty. The police officers will search the house for evidence. They will look for fingerprints, footprints, and hair. From now on, you shouldn't touch anything in the house. This is important for the investigation," he says. Everyone leaves the house. Then Detective Taylor starts asking questions to Bill. There is no emotion in his face. He talks like a stone. He is holding the note. "Find him. Do you have any enemies? Did you see anything unusual? Does he have any close friends? Do you get along well? How often does he see his mom? Why did the babysitter leave early? Did Tim have any money with him? Where do his friends live?" He asks several other questions. He questions the residents of the street too. All the neighbors try to help Bill and do their best. Detective Taylor thinks for a while, then he starts talking. "Please try to stay calm. Maybe he is not kidnapped. Maybe he will come home a few hours later. He would never do such a thing. He is my son. I know him better than anyone on this planet. He wouldn't leave the house without me, says Bill. I understand you, sir, but these things sometimes happen. Officially speaking, it is not a kidnap case yet. He is lost for less than 48 hours, says Taylor. Bill shouts, "What about the note?" Taylor explains the official procedure. They should analyze the handwriting first. They should take the fingerprints. Then, but Bill cannot hear him anymore. He faints. Chapter 3. You are weak. This is the first thing Bill hears. He opens his eyes and sees Celine. Celine, his ex-wife, Tim's mother. She is staring at Bill. Her eyes are full of anger, disappointment, and fear. You couldn't take care of him. I shouldn't have allowed him to stay with you. You are an irresponsible father. How could you leave him alone at home? What happened to my son? She continues. It's your fault, she shouts. Find him, Bill. Find my son, she cries. Bill wants to say something. I'm sorry, I'm really sorry, he says. Detective Taylor starts talking. I will go to the police station now. Two police officers will stay here with you. There will be four other police officers in the garden. If anyone phones, do not hang up early. You must try to talk for a few minutes. We may find them that way. The search will start soon and I will find your son. Trust me, he says. Thank you, says Celine. And if you remember anything, let me know, he continues. Okay, says Bill. Detective Taylor leaves the house. Celine and Bill are calmer now, but they are not talking to each other. Celine is feeling angry. Bill is feeling guilty. It is 10 p.m. Tim is lost for 4 hours. The phone rings. It is Detective Taylor. I got the results. There's no DNA of a stranger. There's no fingerprint on the note. All the other fingerprints and footprints belong to you and your neighbors. But the search is going on, he says. Bill thanks him and hangs up the phone. He is thinking about the whole day over and over again. He is trying to remember every single detail. He thinks about the phone call from Mila, the library, and his 15-minute long walk. The Peterson family is having dinner. They are eating macaroni. Ms. Watson is watering the red roses. Mr. Foster is drinking tea with a white cup. He remembers seeing Ms. Bell's dog. He remembers seeing a black minivan, and he remembers the driver's kind smile. He remembers feeling happy and safe. He can remember every single detail. There's nothing new, there's nothing unusual. Now it is midnight. Tim is lost for 6 hours. Celine and Bill are in the living room with the police officers. Celine is angrier. She blames her ex-husband for his son's loss. She does not trust him anymore. Officer Douglas talks to Celine. Mr. Taylor is a great detective. He is very experienced. He had many similar cases. You can trust him. I'm sure he will find your son, he says. I hope so, says Celine. Bill looks at Celine. He looks into her eyes closely. Her eyes are sad, red, and tired. Are you hungry? You didn't have dinner. I didn't have dinner. Either, he says. I can prepare your favorite dish, he continues. Celine is furious. How can you say that? Do you think I can eat anything? Our son is kidnapped, and you say that she cannot finish her sentence. She bursts into tears. She runs to Tim's room and slams the door. Bill goes to his own bedroom. He opens his wardrobe and takes the box. It is full of Tim's notes. Bill opens it with tears in his eyes. It is unbelievable. All the notes are gone. There's an envelope in the box. He is shocked. He thinks he found a clue. He gets excited and runs. He goes to Tim's room and tells Celine about the envelope. Bill, Celine, and the police officers are in the room now. One of the police officers phones Detective Taylor. The other one takes the envelope with the help of a pair of tweezers. We must be very careful. This envelope can be a serious evidence, he says. There may be fingerprints on it. He opens the envelope carefully. There is a letter in it. The officer reads the letter. Chapter 4. Tick-tack, tick-tack. You don't have much time left. If you want to find a way, remember your happiest day. What does it mean? Says Selene. Someone is playing a game with you, says the officer. Well, I'm not having fun, says Bill. They hear a knock on the door. It is Detective Taylor. The officers take the letter to him. He carefully holds the letter and begins to read it. He finishes the letter and puts it into an evidence bag. Then he sends it to the police station. This letter is very important. This person is close to you. He knows your happiest day. He knows about your little game. He knows about the box. These are very important clues, he says. He wants us to find him. He is leaving clues behind him, says Selene. Your happiest day? What was it? Asks Detective Taylor. Well, I had many happy days. But I think the happiest day of my life was the day Tim was born, says Selene. They say it at the same time. When was he born? Asks Detective Taylor. The 16th of the 2nd, 2004, Bill answers. At 14:02 on a Tuesday, adds Selene. This date must have a meaning. Can you remember anything else? What happened that day? I mean, do you remember anything unusual about the date? Anything? Asks Detective Taylor. I have no idea, answers Bill. My son was born that day. It means nothing else to me, he adds. Any other important event in the country, in the city, or in the neighborhood? Asks Detective Taylor. I was in the hospital for 3 days. I wasn't feeling very well, as you can imagine, but I don't remember anything unusual, says Selene. I have an idea, says Bill. I work in a library, you know. I have the keys with me. Let's go there and look at the newspaper's archive, he continues. Let's go, says Detective Taylor, and they all get in the car. They are in the archive room 10 minutes later. The room is very big and there are thousands of old books in it. They walk amongst the old and dusty books and find the newspaper archive book. The newspaper archive is like a giant book. There are thousands of newspapers. Bill turns the pages quickly. 18th of the 2nd, 2004, 17th of the 2nd, 2004, and finally 16th of the 2nd, 2004. Selene is very excited. She hopes to find a clue. She hopes that the clue will take her to her son. Bill is confused. He doesn't have any hope about the newspapers. How can an old news article help them? Detective Taylor is waiting calmly. He has a strange feeling. This cannot be that easy. And he is right. Chapter 5. The newspaper is missing. All the papers are intact, but the page they are looking for is missing. There's another letter instead of the newspaper. Selene starts crying. Bill starts shouting. He gets angrier. He thinks somebody is playing with them and he wants to reach this evil person. Detective Taylor is not surprised at all. He carefully opens the envelope and reads the letter aloud. You think you are smart, right? Standing here in a dark night. If you want to find your son, you should fight like a knight. Detective Taylor's phone rings. The call is from the police station. There's no fingerprint on the first letter. This sounds very strange to them. How could a letter not have any fingerprints? We were wrong. He doesn't want us to find him. He wants us to lose time. He isn't leaving clues behind him. We are wasting our time with these letters. They don't mean anything, he says. What will we do with this letter? Asks Selene. Nothing, says the detective. How will we find my son? Asks Bill. Please, tell me everything once again. You left the library and... Bill tells the whole story from the beginning. Detective Taylor stops him. You saw Miss Bell's dog? Did you see Miss Bell herself? He asks. No, I didn't. I didn't see her. I just saw the dog. What do you mean? Asks Bill curiously. And you saw a black minivan, right? Does it belong to your neighbors? No. No one has a black minivan in my neighborhood, answers Bill. Do you think Tim was in that minivan? Asks Celine. I don't know. But we will find out, says Detective Taylor. Miss Bell would never do such a thing, says Bill. She may be innocent, Bill, but when I first came to your house, everyone was there except Miss Bell. I questioned everyone on your street, but one house was empty, he continues. Is there a kennel in this garden? Yes. That's her house, says Selene. She would never do such a thing. She is a nice person. She can't even harm a fly. I know her for many years, Bill repeats. Hey, wait. I think I remember something, says Selene. Tell us, says Detective Taylor. When Tim was a baby, Miss Bell visited us frequently. She loved Tim and sometimes she used to sing lullabies to him. One of them was very weird. I asked her not to sing it anymore because it was a scary song, says Selene. What was it? Asks Detective Taylor. I don't remember the lyrics exactly, but it was about a lost boy. He was lost in the woods. We must go to Miss Bell's house, says Detective Taylor. They get in the car. He drives the car very fast. Now it is 2 a.m. Tim is lost for 8 hours. Selene, Bill, and Detective Taylor are at Miss Bell's door. They knock the door and begin to wait. They try to stay calm, but Bill is very nervous. He can't believe that all these things are happening to him. She opens the door after a few minutes. Sorry to bother you, madam, but we have an emergency here. I am Detective Taylor, and I have to ask you some questions, says Detective Taylor. Of course, come in. I'd really like to help, says Miss Bell. Well, you may have heard that Tim is lost for more than 8 hours. We are trying to find him, but unfortunately there is no trace of him. Maybe you can give us some important information about this case. Oh, by the way, you opened the door quite late. Were you sleeping? Asks Detective Taylor. It is 2 a.m. Of course I was sleeping, says Miss Bell. With your clothes on? He asks again. I was too tired to change my clothes. I fell asleep while I was watching the basketball game, says Miss Bell. They sit on the white sofa in the living room. Detective Taylor starts playing with the cup on the coffee table. So, you like basketball? I love it too. I think you also like gardening. You have a beautiful garden there, Miss Bell. Thank you, Detective. But the truth is, I have a great gardener. I can't even water the flowers by myself. It is too tiring for me. I used to spend a lot of time in the garden, but now I can only look at it from the window, she says. Chapter 6. Tell me about your whole day, Miss Bell. What did you do? Where did you go? What did you see? Asks Detective Taylor. I woke up at 7:30. I took a shower, had breakfast, and drove to my office. There was nothing unusual on the way. I was at the office at 8:30. I worked until noon. I worked on some important reports, and then I had lunch with friends. I was at Danny's restaurant from 12 to 1 p.m. It is my favorite restaurant. I like the food there. I went back to the office and continued to work on the same reports. Then I left the office at 5:30 p.m. I came home and took my dog for a walk, but it escaped and started running. I chased it, but I couldn't catch it. It was 8 p.m. when I found it. It didn't come back home. I ate dinner out and went to the cinema. I watched a wonderful movie and had some popcorn. Then I came home and started watching the game, she continues. She tells every single detail about her day. Everything seems okay. There's nothing suspicious about it. But Detective Taylor is still very careful. He is very experienced, so he does not give up easily. I want to ask one last question, Miss Bell, says Detective Taylor. Of course. Can you tell it backwards? What do you mean? Start from now and finish in the morning. Don't forget to give the exact time for every action. Miss Bell is confused and nervous. She starts telling her day backwards. You came to my door and asked questions. It was 2 a.m. Before that, I was sleeping. Before that, Detective Taylor listens to her carefully. She continues, I went to the cinema. Before that, I ate dinner. I found my dog before the dinner. It was 7:30. Before that, I came home at around 6. That's enough, Miss Bell. It is easy to make up a story, but it is hard to tell it backwards. You are lying, Miss Bell. Two stories are different from each other, says Detective Taylor. It doesn't mean anything. I'm just a bit confused. No one starts a story from the end. This is ridiculous, she protests. Listen to me, Miss Bell. When I came home, I smelled fresh coffee. When I touched the cup, it was still hot. Were you drinking coffee while you were sleeping? Says Detective Taylor. Then he continues. According to your story, you went to the cinema after 8. Then you came home and watched the basketball game. But the game started at 7. Miss Bell is getting more and more nervous. One more thing, says the detective. You can't even water the flowers in your garden, right? How can you explain the mud on your trousers? Miss Bell starts crying. I want a lawyer. I don't want to discuss more, she says. Call your lawyer and tell him to come to the police station. Because we are going there, he says. He talks to Celine and Bill. You go home now and wait for my phone call. Do not call anyone and do not leave your house until I call you. If you get a phone call, do not hang up. Talk as long as you can. The officers are still recording your phone calls. Bill and Celine go home and start waiting. It is 3:15 now. Tim is lost for more than 9 hours. Bill and Celine are getting more nervous every second. The phone rings at 5:30. She's confessed, says Detective Taylor. Meet me at Sherwood Park. Tim is in a hut there. Celine and Bill are crying. They are very happy. They hug and kiss each other. 15 minutes later, they are at the park. They see the police cars and Detective Taylor. Celine, Bill, Detective Taylor, and a few police officers are walking in the woods. There's a map in Taylor's hand. Miss Bell drew it. He points to a hut and says, Tim must be in this hut. Taylor and the other police officers surround the hut. They are very careful. They have guns in their hands. Taylor opens the door. Safe, he says. Tim is lying on a bed. He is tied to the bed. His hands, feet, and mouth are tied. His eyes are closed and he isn't moving. He looks exhausted. They can see that he has been tied up for more than 9 hours. He must be very hungry and thirsty. Chapter 7. Celine and Bill enter the hut. Their eyes are full of tears. They untie Tim. Is he sleeping? Or is he... Celine cannot speak anymore. They reach the bed. Bill touches his son's shoulder. He isn't moving. Bill is crying. He sings the song anyway. I found you, my little boy. You are my biggest joy. Tim opens his eyes and smiles. I wasn't scared at all. I was sure you would find me, Dad. You always find me, he says. Tim, Bill and Selene hug. They hug and hug and hug. They are very happy. I said very bad things to you, Bill. I'm sorry. You are a great father. Please forgive me. I couldn't think properly, says Selene. It is okay, Selene. You are a great mother too. The officers immediately arrest Miss Bell and put her into the interrogation room. She waits in the dark room for an hour and finally Detective Taylor enters in. He looks at Miss Bell with pity and sits in front of her. All right, Miss Bell. Now you can tell us the rest of the story. Which story? You know everything now. What else do you want to know? You found him and you know I did it. Isn't it enough for you? No, it is not, because I still don't know the reason. Why did you do this horrible thing, Miss Bell? Why? For which stupid reason you turned the happy lives of ordinary people to a nightmare? I don't want to speak anymore. It is not an option, Miss Bell. You played your game and lost it. Now it is my turn. If you don't tell me the reason, you will have a worse punishment. Tell us, Miss Bell, why did you kidnap that little boy? Did you do that for money? No, I would never do that for money. Then why, Miss Bell? Why? Stop it, shouted Miss Bell furiously. Her eyes turned red in a second. She stood up and pushed the chair. She leaned towards the desk and begins to speak with a horrifying voice. Do you know what it is like to live in that dreadful street? I spent all my life watching the happy lives of others. They all have wives or husbands or children. They eat together, they go out together, they come home together, and they do everything together. Together. Do you understand? Together. I only have that stupid smelly dog and some awful flowers. I did it because I was lonely. That's it, okay? That's it. Now you have your stupid answer. Go and sleep well and put me in a cell for the rest of my life. Detective Taylor doesn't know what to say. He feels sad for Miss Bell. He leaves the room and goes to see Selene, Bill and Tim. He explains everything about Miss Bell to Selene and Bill. They also feel sorry for her. Bill takes a deep breath and says, Well, I had the worst days of my life and I think Miss Bell made a big mistake. But now that I've found Tim okay, I think I forgive her for her mistake. You are a great person, Bill, says Selene. They thank Detective Taylor and go home happily. It is almost 7 in the morning. They need to sleep and rest, but Tim is hungry. We are starving, says Selene. They prepare a big breakfast and eat it happily. Tim wants Selene to stay with them for a few days. She accepts without hesitation. That would make me very happy too, says Bill. They spend a few days together. They play games, have picnics, watch movies, go to the parks, fly kites, and look at the old photos. Everything is back to normal now. Selene goes back to her home. Bill starts working again. Tim starts going to school. One day, Bill comes home from work and opens the door. He sees a note. Actually, he doesn't want to play the game anymore. It reminds him of that terrible disaster. He reads the note. Find us. Us? Who is with Tim? Bill enters the home. A delicious smell takes him to the kitchen. He opens the door and sees Selene and Tim. They are waiting for him to start dinner. Bill looks at the dinner table. Everything looks wonderful on the table. Selene has cooked his favorite dish for him. Bill feels strange. He thinks of the old days when he was married. He remembers the good days. Welcome home, Dad, Tim says, and he hugs Bill. Selene hugs Bill too. She whispers into his ears, I don't want to lose you again. Me neither, says Bill. They eat their first dinner of their new life and it is really delicious. Time passes and they all forget the horrible incident and start a wonderful life together. They share the happiest moments together and never part again.